Letters to Daniel, Volume 4, Letter 188.
"Star," said Ransom in a loud voice, "in nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, dic mihi qui sis et quam ob causam veneris." "Stand. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, tell me who you are and why you come."
"Angel Gabe, your shepherds
let you play with dangerous toys," he said. "Tell me, slave, what is Numenor?" "The true West," said Ransom.
"Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2013, in the sixth month, on the 12th day of the sixth month."
"Well," said the other. Then, after a pause, he added, "You have little courtesy to guests in this house. It is a cold wind on my back, and I have been long in bed. You see, I have already crossed the threshold."
"You're Dan. As I stated earlier, I wanted to write more about the angels that the Lord has put in my life. So, in the order of their revelation to me, please allow me to begin. In the second half of 1999, the Lord led me in a friendship with another brother who was having like experiences as me. This gave both of us some objective perspective. Otherwise, I might have thought myself going a little mad. I have already written about this in an earlier letter, but around this same time, I was given another sign. This event, I think, happened in the summer of 2000, after the Day of Seventh. One day, I attended a church service that was being held in a formal church building. I was sitting toward the back, so I had full view of the auditorium. It was a Sunday evening, and people were entering prior to the start of the service. Some people were, like me, already seated and settling into their spots on the pews. As I was sitting, Gabe got my attention and then said, "Watch this." After a few seconds, without any visible prompting from anywhere, remember, I was watching and listening intently, waiting for something to happen. To my great amazement, about a dozen people sitting and scattered throughout the rows in front of me got up all at once, en masse, and moved one or two rows toward the front. Individuals, couples, and even a family or two all got up at the same time, in unison and perfect choreograph, and moved closer to the altar and pulpit. It was truly an amazing thing to see. Gabe had influenced all who were willing with the suggestion to move closer to the front, then said to me that one of his ministries is to move people closer to Jesus and his word. For me, that was a real-time demonstration of proof and another sign that I was not being deceived by an enemy. So, Dan, as I write this letter, I have zero room for doubt about these things. Even so, the skeptic still has his place, and all things go through his desk for the meticulous Berean assault he wages on all data that I am exposed to. And even after initial approval, old data is routinely brought up for periodic review to confirm it is still sound and in harmony with Scripture. Many years ago, I used to ask Gabe where we were at in the prophetic timetable, and he would answer with, "We are in the book of Jude." The premise of my question presupposed my own concept that the New Testament writings in the Bible are laid out in a sort of church history format, with the books toward the end of the Bible becoming more applicable even as we see the day approaching. Does Gabe know the day or the hour? No, according to Scripture. But those who study Bible prophecy certainly can know the season. Yet, I have often wondered if Jesus was given the date of the rapture sometime after he made the statement recorded in Mark 13:32, perhaps when the Father gave to him the book of Revelation, or perhaps even before that. I'll find out someday. Blessings. R.C. Theophilus.
Now, he said, what of
these shepherds
of yours?
My shepherds
are the Oyeresu. Where did you hear that name? Asked the stranger. Or if you are truly of the college, why do they dress you like a slave? Your own garments, said Ransom, are not those of a druid. That stroke was well put by, answered the other. Since you have knowledge, answer me three questions, if you dare. I will answer them, if I can, but as for daring, we shall see. The stranger mused for a few seconds, then, speaking in a slightly sing-song voice, as though he repeated an old lesson, he asked in two Latin hexameters the following question. Who is called Silver? What road does she walk? Why is the womb barren on one side? Where are the cold marriages? Ransom replied, Silva is she whom the mortals call the moon. She walks in the lowest sphere. The rim of the world that was wasted goes through her. Half of her orb is turned towards us and shares our curse. Her other half looks to deep heaven. Happy would he be who could cross that frontier and see the fields on her further side. On this side the womb is barren and the marriage is cold. There dwell an accursed people full of pride and lust. There, when a young man takes a maiden in marriage, they do not lie together, but each lies with a cunningly fashioned image of the other, made to move and to be warm by devilish arts, for real flesh will not please them. They are so dainty, delicati, in their dreams of lust. Their real children they fabricate by vile arts in a secret place. You have answered well, said the stranger. I thought there were but three men in the world that knew this question. But my second may be harder. Where is the ring of Arthur the king? What lord has such a treasure in his house? The ring of the king, said Ransom, is on Arthur's finger where he sits in the house of kings in the cup-shaped land of Abhalgin, beyond the seas of Lur in Perelandra. For Arthur did not die, but our lord took him to be in the body till the end of time and the shattering of silver, with Enoch and Elias and Moses and Melchizedek the king. Melchizedek is he in whose hall the steep-stoned ring sparkles on the forefinger of the Pendragon. Well answered, said the stranger. In my college it was thought that only two men in the world knew this. But as for my third question, no man knew the answer but myself. Who shall be Pendragon in the time when Saturn descends from his sphere? In what world did he learn war? In the sphere of Venus I learned war, said Ransom. In this age Lurga shall descend. I am the Pendragon. When he had said this, he took a step backwards, for the big man had begun to move, and there was a new look in his eyes. Anyone who had seen them as they stood thus face to face would have thought that it might come to fighting at any moment. But the stranger had not moved with hostile purpose. Slowly, ponderously, yet not awkwardly, as though a mountain sank like a wave, he sank on one knee, and still his face was almost on a level with the director's.